You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Geekscapists, here's a humdinger of an episode for you. This is actually our Los Angeles Comic-Con panel on what are the lamest Marvel characters that have yet to make it to the MCU. We love the MCU, but we also love Marvel Comics. And we know that Marvel Comics has, over the years, had some not so great characters. Will they ever make it to the MCU? Who knows? This panel is what that's all about. I loved this panel. It is hilarious. Katie was great. Ed Greer and Ron Swallow were fantastic. You should definitely go find their podcast. And Matt Kelly did a phenomenal job as the Card Master. This is what LA Comic Con and doing panels at conventions are all about. Audience interaction, having some hilarious off-the-cuff panels, and just having a great time. I hope you do listening to us because I loved it. Enjoy. Let's get this started. We are waiting on Ron Swallow, who is finishing up another panel, and then he's going to fly in here and join us. But what we're doing here, we're going to be talking about the MCU, but not the MCU that you know, the one that you are familiar with, the one that you've loved for many years, through many movies, through now the many Disney Plus shows. We love that MCU. We're going to talk about the other MCU, the MCU that hasn't appeared yet, the MCU that might appear. That is, the characters that Marvel has not used yet, but they are from the comics. To my far left, I have Matt Kelly.
Hello!
I'm Jonathan London, head of the Geekscape Network. It's my podcast, and my, it's destroyed my life. But for the last 15 years, I've been doing a podcast. It is now a network. Matt runs the podcast network. We have 17, 18 shows, Matt?
18 shows right
18
now.
18 shows.
Room for two more?
Yeah. So, okay. And what Matt is doing on this panel is Matt is playing the Card Master. What Matt is doing is Matt has a stack of Marvel Masterworks cards, and they are all in that Christmas stocking. If y'all remember the Marvel Masterworks cards from the 90s, they were cards of Marvel characters, and we have picked out characters that have yet to appear in any iteration in the MCU. These are characters that are, you know, they're in the comics. They're just not yet in the MCU. So what I've done, because I'm always being like, oh, man, Razor Fist made it into Shang-Chi, right? But he was adapted, right? Like, they didn't have both hands blades as blades, because then how would he go to the bathroom? No. Did he have both hands as blades in Shang-Chi?
No,
just one, right? Because otherwise he can't go to the bathroom.
Exactly. That was the only reason they
changed. But in the comics, Razor Fist has both hands as blades. He didn't start that way, but ultimately he ended up with both hands as swords. And they don't address in the comics how he goes to the bathroom. But that's
part of the skill of Shaolin. It's great motions with the blades.
So what we're doing is we have some of the derpiest Marvel characters in a stack of cards over there. And Matt is randomly going to reach into that stack of cards, pull out a card, and ask the panel and maybe yourselves how you would adapt them into the MCU.
who would play that character, what storyline would you pull from the comics or make up. Maybe you'd introduce that character into an existing franchise, but we are going to adapt some of the worst characters Marvel's ever created into the MCU. To my left is one of the funniest people I know, Ed Greer. Ed, talk about your podcast. You really are one of the funniest people I know, dude. I turn to you for so much comedic inspiration and geeky inspiration.
Oh, well, thanks. I think my podcast, The Greatest Pod, it's just kind of, it's everything that we always want to do. Talk about what makes something great and discuss and debate it, you know? And so I'm glad to be on this panel with these lame characters. And trying to find
you mean us, right?
Because your because Ed's podcast is specifically taking like ideas and being like, how would you do that in film? Like, how would you how would you redevelop that idea?
Right. Well, because it's like it's better to be additive, right? We all know negative nerds who are just like, yeah, this sucks. This sucks. Well, if you don't have the choice to say this sucks and check out, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? So I'm sure when they got the brief that my man Hawkeye and Black Widow had to be in the Avengers, they were like, shit, how are we going to do this? And they did it super freshly to the point where Hawkeye is my favorite Avenger right now. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the challenge, right?
Okay, yeah. How do we make these characters good and work on screen? That's huge. Katie is my co-host on Geekscape. She is the funniest person I know.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Ed. Sorry, Ed. This Take that, she Ed. Is amazing.
You're number two, though.
Ed is number two. Katie, are you up for the challenge? Did you read a lot of comics as a kid?
Here's the fun thing. No, I did not. But I'm definitely. I've read some Marvel comics. I mostly stuck to Deadpool because it was my kind of sass and humor.
I hear that.
And then I was also a Batman fan. But I'm very excited. You might need to give me a little bit of description of what these...
Well, luckily, the cards came with those.
Oh, fantastic.
Y'all remember these Marvel Masterworks cards from the 90s? They were...
Everyone does not.
Everywhere. And... yeah, they were really pushing some really bad characters that you could... The 90s were a dark time in comics. Trust me. Like, we all remember the X-Men stories from the 80s. Those are the ones they used for the movies. We remember the Avengers stories from the 60s and 70s. Those are the ones that they used for the movies. We have a lot of stories that are being told that are adapted from the last 20 years. It seems like the MCU is completely skipping the 90s and things like the Spider-Man Clone Saga and bringing that to screen because those comics were not fun to read and those characters were not good. So, Matt... You are the card master. I will ask you to pull out our first card, introduce the character, and Ed, Katie, and I, and later on, who's joining us, will, with the audience, figure out how we're going to put this in the MCU. Who's our first bad character?
I got an easy one for you guys to start. We have Ahab, the supervillain, who has mechanical limbs and a harpoon. Ahab was the master of the robotic sentinels in a bleak possible future. His reign of terror ended by Excalibur. This fiendish cyborg now plots to recapture his former mutant hunting slave, Phoenix. Here, you can pass the card around.
So this is somebody who is going after Jean Grey. So it's an X-Men character. Yeah. I think all the X-Men characters have yet to be reintroduced in the MCU. And if y'all are familiar with this character from the 90s, funny, we haven't seen him in the last 20 years. his big weapon is literally
a harpoon. Yeah, it has to be if he's Batman.
Yeah, he's kind of robotic except for his head. He's got like a Abraham Lincoln beard. and literally he throws a harpoon at people. His name is Ahab. And his group affiliation is the Sentinels. You know, the mutant hunting Sentinels from the X-Men comics.
Right.
I'm pretty sure those will show up in the MCU. Don't know about Ahab. How would you introduce Ahab into the MCU? Ed, why don't you start us off? Clearly, the Sentinels are going to be in the new X-Men movies when they eventually get to them. Those are major X-Men villains. Is Ahab part of that ship?
I think he's part of them and introducing the blob. The blob's just hanging out, and Ahab wants to make a whale joke and stabs him with stabs him with the harpoon. And it's not PC, and that's why Ahab has to lose. You know what I mean? Like, you can't diss fat people if you're gonna cater to the Comic-Con audience. So,
so Ahab's only introduced to make a joke about the blob.
I'm just saying, like, and I think Ahab also coming from the future. I think there's all kinds of ways you can like. Incorporate him because he doesn't have to stick to continuity.
My favorite thing about a guy who goes for the future to hunt the Phoenix and help the Sentinels is I'm going to use a weapon from the 1800s. Now, where's that logic?
Well, I mean, you know, we've got Hawkeye with the bow and arrow and everything like that. So we might as well have some melee weapons coming in and from our villains. But here's the thing. I want to cast John Cena as Cap Mayhap because I think he's got the range and definitely the shoulder pads.
Yeah, he's definitely got the shoulders. And you know what? To the credit of James Gunn, he took characters that weren't popular like Ratcatcher 2 and Polka Dot Man and made them incredible characters on screen. So this can be done.
But wait a minute. I object.
Okay.
Why are you going to chop off his guns? He's got two robot. Yeah, he's got robot arms. His character has two robot arms. So you're going to eliminate the two things that people like about John Cena.
Okay, so you want someone who doesn't have big guns. All right, now I'm recasting for Jay Baruchel.
Definitely.
Has a little bit of a dweebish vibe, but he's trying to be more manly, trying to be, you know, that white whale killer. Yeah.
This character stinks. I hope we never see that character in the MCU.
The beautiful paintings they make of these horrible characters.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, they made me believe that these characters could be great as I collected these as a child.
No, they get some of the best painted artists to do it. He's like, here's Alex Ross's Ahab. And you're like,
there's like
what?
Lightning bolts behind him. He's come from the storm.
How epic is this guy?
Lightning bolts of disinterest.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about him is he's hunting the Phoenix Force, which is like a cosmic entity, and he's like throwing a harpoon at it. He's kind of an idiot. Okay, Cardmaster, can you pull another card out of that horrible?
So the next one, we're still sticking with supervillains on this next card. Okay. We've got the Slug.
What's the Slug?
The Slug.
Tell me he has like poisonous slime or something.
Dealing drugs for the criminal kingpin from his Miami yacht, this obese slug has crossed swords with both Captain America and Nomad. Although confined to his custom-designed wheelchair forklift and hindered by his light-sensitive eyes, his keen mind and scheming business abilities keep the millions rolling in, which in turn helps pay for his enormous grocery bill. That is the description on the back of
this
card.
That's a verbatim description?
Hand this to me. This is an attack. Get it out.
I love that he has like real life issues. Like he can't pay for his bills.
Okay.
Like this is one of those that seems like, you know, he's got some real life problems. I would almost want to face him against Ant-Man personally.
He's got unaddressed trauma and we're sitting here making fun of this poor guy.
No, he's
not just big, he's in a wheelchair.
He's got economic anxiety from the bills.
Yes, he does.
He's forced into a life of crime. He is a cheap kingpin. If we see him in the last three episodes of Hawkeye, I'm going to be super happy.
Oh, they've already done it, didn't they? He could definitely go with a workout program, but the forklift part.
He's got a wheelchair forklift.
I want to encourage more people with disabilities in the MCU. This is something different, though.
My favorite is that, you know, you got the Kingpin locking down New York. I'm sure the West Coast Avengers went up against some criminal Kingpin. This guy's in Miami. Like, what are the superheroes in Miami that are, like, running around? I guess, like, Captain America and Nomad were, like, having a layover. And they're like, is there any crime in the area? my plane got delayed. I guess I'll fight this guy. The slug does not seem like a heavy hitter.
Besides drug dealing, I don't see why anybody would commit a crime in Miami. It's nice out. Lay on the beach and chill out.
Wait, I love. There's a speed stat on here. His speed stat.
They have little G.I. Joe stats on the back.
His speed stat is 1 out of 7. Oh. All right. Well, give him someone fast.
Okay. How would you adapt the slug into the MCU? His comic book nemesis is so far he's fought Captain America. He's fought Nomad.
I think he's also Spider-Man. I think there's a quote on the card from Spider-Man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's fighting the slug. Who plays the slug? What storyline do you give the slug to make it work in the MCU? That character's hopefully never going to show up to the MCU, but if he does...
All right, to make it really work, though, I think you would have to make him like a kingpin, but someone who actually has power. Like, his description's a little bit sad. I think you have to make him someone who, like, makes a lot of money, is kind of a horrible person, and kind of represents consumerism at its most slothfulness.
Okay.
Okay. Working off the backs of, like, those... within his area, you know.
Sure. So it's consumerism.
Sure.
Who's the antithesis of that in like a heroic level? Somebody that's maybe like altruistic and, you know, is there like a socialist almost superhero?
That's why there's no hero called Broke Man.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. He can't spend money on anything, so he's anti-capitalist.
It's like the slug keeps telling me to buy shirts. No. All right, well.
I buy organic.
I don't think we're going to see the slug in the MCU, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think his first appearance was Captain America 325 in January 1987. I would be hard-pressed. Why did they print a card of him?
Is he
in 1992? No, this is a terrible character.
Well, and also, I'd say, also, why does his villain have to be a hero? Because if I was this big fat dude right here, and I looked at the Kingpin, it'd be like how I looked at Biggie Smalls. Like, what's wrong with me that I can't have with Biggie?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this guy's looking at the Kingpin like, he's a zaddy, and I'm not.
And I think that's how, like, characters like other Daredevil villains like Owlsley and, like, that right. whole... New York Underground group deals with him. So I think you actually could take the slug and make him one of those New York Underground people. But I think he works out of Miami. Like, I think they kicked him out of New York and now make fun of him behind his back. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's the sad thing.
I think you have to make him something a little bit cooler in order for him to work in the MCU or yeah. more nefarious, because he's just kind of a wah-wah, maybe one episode.
And as big as he is, like, you definitely need to put makeup on him. I think Jared Leto could kill it.
Actually, let me throw this out there. I think if you got the Robot Chicken people to do it as a show the same way they did, like, that MODOK show,
yeah.
I think that could work.
Okay.
Just do it as almost like a pseudo-parody of the character. Anyway.
I hate that. I don't like fat suits. Get fat or don't.
Don't
fake it
bit.
Out with a bunch of foam rubber and mouthpieces and jowls. Get some jowls. I earned these.
All right, Matt. Card master.
Let's give you a superhero. Try to build a whole origin story.
Who's never been in the MCU, but he's been in the comics. How would we integrate them into the MCU? Introduce this superhero for us, please, Card Master.
He's a character named Slapstick. Transformed by an alien funhouse mirror and turned into a creature with the powers of a Saturday morning cartoon character, teenage prankster Steve Harmon becomes the most unlikely hero of all, the spectacular, surreal Slapstick, completely indestructible, able to pull objects out of thin air, and possessing a totally radical sense of humor. Slapstick doesn't just fight crime, he plays some cruel tricks on it.
So he's just MCU Joker.
No, he's not. He's indestructible. And he acts like a Saturday morning cartoon. I know about this character. And he runs around with like a Harley Quinn style mallet. But it's funny. And he predates Harley Quinn by like 10, 15 years. This is a heroic character. And he stinks. He can literally turn himself into, I mean, a funhouse mirror. Like he runs around as a cartoon. He looks like a cartoon. I think Johnny Knoxville plays him just straight up. Yeah. Because it's Jackass, it's Slapstick. Johnny Knoxville definitely plays this character. They're putting together, it seems obvious that they're doing the Young Avengers. They've introduced Kate Bishop. They've introduced, I think in Ant-Man and the Wasp, we're going to get hey, Ron Swallow, everybody. Have a seat, my friend. That is Ed Greer's co-host on the podcast you need to be subscribing to. How would you integrate Slapstick into the MCU? I think Johnny Knoxville plays him. It's definitely a CGI-only character like Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
And he's literally a cartoon that runs around and smacks people with a mallet. What's the story? Is he a part of like the Young Avengers? Or a team like that?
If you suck too much to be in the Young Avengers, that's bad.
We're definitely getting Young Avengers eventually in the MCU. Like, they're leading to it.
Is the dopest one, though. They're gonna have some work.
But you're going to get Cassie Lang. You're going to end up getting, like, Scott Lang's daughter. And you're going to get these characters.
Yeah.
eventually you're going to end up getting Miles Morales. They're going to do Young Avengers.
How old is Slapstick?
I don't know. He was a teenager and then he ran into an alien funhouse mirror and now he turned into a cartoon.
I really need to know about the alien funhouse. What aliens are these that are like setting up a carnival?
Have you not seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
We're getting Miss Marvel. We're getting Kamala Khan. Like, we're getting these Young Avengers.
I mean, it seems pretty easy that you would put him in the multiverse, right? Like,
so you for can Dr. Strange. Oh, Doctor Strange would be an intro.
Yeah.
Oh, he's well, got crazy mirrors in his house.
And he's going to clearly break the universe, and therefore
pretty soon here.
It's we're gonna get a bunch of multiverses and Slapstick in getting oh. in involved would be
okay,
the best
we
way
open
to do
on
it. Now Johnny Knoxville's interesting, but I might go old school and go with Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, but he's a teenager.
Oh, so yeah, it's a teenager. We can't have a Jim Carrey.
I think what we end up doing is finding some. Oh,
we could go real hack.
This is job for the Island Boys.
Yeah.
Oh. Open on the Sanctum Centaurium. This is where Doctor Strange lives. And these two idiotic thugs break in. And they're like, we could steal some magic stuff. And they end up running into this alien funhouse mirror. One of them tragically dies. That's your origin story.
Oh,
that's like the
to.
Loss. You have to have the tragedy. Yeah. But then the other Island Boy ends up becoming Slapstick.
And he changes his ways. He's still kind of got that, like, you know.
Whoa, anything goes.
I mean, he's still an island boy, but
he's definitely still an island boy. Once an island boy, always an island boy. We know that. You got face tattoos. You're always an island boy.
I want to tell you the power ratings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is my favorite.
Strength 2.
He's invincible.
Just to give you an idea, I will rate a 3. intelligence 3. Just to give you an idea, I would rate a 3. Energy protection 1. Mental powers 1. Fighting ability 2. Speed 2.
Are we talking mental powers as in like psychic powers?
Look at the picture.
I guess like he could make somebody laugh for a second and they might get distracted.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Are you pitching yourself for this character?
I think I am.
I know you're outlaying how.
I got if I shave my facial hair off, I actually still look like
you
a teenager.
Look
so,
like a teenager.
No, that's not true anymore. I have a receding hairline. That doesn't. You can't do that. Sadly, I am pitching myself anyways, though, because I need a job.
Ron's following the greatest pod. All right, here we go. No slapstick. That's how we do slapstick in the MCU. Okay, Matt, Cardmaster. What is the next card?
Cardmaster.
Of a character that has not seen the MCU, but we're going to tell you how it works in the MCU.
So we've got Micromax over here.
Who's Micromax?
Not a whole lot of description here. No group affiliate. It says, did you know?
It's not even
no,
a fact.
At the bottom,
it's a question.
Micromax uses his power to charge the size of his body parts to hide his normally flabby physique while in his superheroic identity.
What?
And that's all we got. His first appearance was in Excalibur 44 in November of 1991. There's Micromax.
Like,
have fun.
He's got like pin tech, but in his own body.
Yes.
So he can make himself grow abs or big hands or
other
areas.
Or the thing that dudes would do instantly.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing I mean, I would put him with Deadpool because that's the only way you can really make those jokes.
Okay. Micromax. And
he's a hero.
He's a hero
who can change his body part size.
He can, but he can also shrink himself. This picture on the back has him with a ballpoint pen, and he's holding it like a javelin or something.
I already got the tagline: Micro Max. He's a shower and a grower.
That's perfect.
Oh my god!
I think you're right that he has to go with Deadpool, though.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because
the mortality rate of all those characters is high, and we don't want to see Micro Max in more than 10 minutes.
You don't. Well, no, and the obvious answer is putting him teaming up with Ant-Man, but I just feel like that's just too on the nose. Who's his villain, though? Who's Micro Max's villain?
I think blood circulation.
I think that's right.
Like, if he's, like, growing and shrinking other portions of his body, like a big hand, small hand, like, he's going to be all messed up internally.
We open on
his name's Scott, too.
Oh,
okay.
So you can't put him with Scott Lang.
I think you could make
Scott Lang.
I think you could make a hilarious, like, buddy cop thing where where he hates him.
I got it.
Well, my brain went away. What was the I was who plays sorry, Ant-Man again?
I'm gonna railroad yeah, you right
we
now.
We got Paul Rudd, the sexiest man alive.
Yeah. So, so Ant-Man somehow accidentally gets arrested.
No, Scott. Well, Scott Pym, Scott Lang came out of prison. Remember?
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. But he gets rearrested. Okay. Yeah. Or we see a flashback with him and Micro Maxi Man. What's his name?
Micro Max.
Max. Micro Max. They are trying to break out of prison, and the movie is called Scot Free.
Not bad, not bad, not bad. I've got another approach. We have this. You know, I'm behind this trend. I like this trend. We're gonna gender swap.
Ooh, yeah.
Right. We're gonna gender swap Micro Max. We're gonna make it a female character.
Okay.
That's what they've done a couple times in the MCU, and I'm all about it. But Micro Max might be a real character. We may be living with a real life Micro Max. If you see pictures of Kim Kardashian from like 10 years ago and now,
so you're saying
parts of the body have gotten bigger and then smaller and then bigger again, then smaller. She might be Micro Max.
Like just real life. We don't even need real to introduce life. Her to the MCU.
I think she's a superhero.
See, I was going to go with Kim Kardashian for Husk. That's just me.
Okay, Micro Max. That is how, hopefully Micro Max doesn't find their way to the MCU. But if so,
woo,
now you know who that character is. So when you're telling your friends, like, who's that obscure? What was that post-credit scene? Because they're starting to get really big on the post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
You could be like, who was that character? You could be like, oh, that's Micro Max. I know all about Micro Max. Yeah. Can't wait for the next movie.
The back of the card didn't know anything about Micro Max.
The back of the card asked you, but you knew.
Do you know who this is? Because we don't.
That is the best card ever. They're like, we have no clue what this is. Please help us. It's a cry for help.
It's a DC character that came over.
We can't tell you too much.
Do we make this character? I don't know.
Ready for the next one?
Okay, what's the next card, Cardmaster?
We got Bloodhawk here. A creature of the desert. The vicious Bloodhawk is the environmental protector of the 2099's Wild West. And then there's a quote from the creators. We tried to create an extreme sense of death by looking right down at the Bloodhawk, as well as by contrasting him with the ship well below him. There's no context to that quote whatsoever.
Nope.
There's Bloodhawk.
Right. Let me give you some context, because Marvel 2099 was an initiative that Marvel did in the 90s that I worked in a comic book store in high school during the 90s, and it was a dark time. Marvel, even like as late as 1999, was trying to sell their file cabinets to keep the lights on. This is before they started the Ultimate Universe. The Ultimate Universe introduced brand new iterations of their characters. It eventually introduced Miles Morales. I think he's one of the only characters that's transitioned into the 616. That is the solid universe. But Marvel tried many times during the 90s to keep revamping versions of their characters using alternate universes as their excuse or their reasoning. One of these was 2099. Another one was the Amalgam Universe. So it was amalgamating characters from Marvel with DC. You had like a Wolverine Batman version and stuff like that. Maybe we'll never see this. Who knows? But the 2099 universe had versions of 2099 Punisher, Doctor Doom, Hulk, and I guess Bloodhawk.
I'm sorry. Can we just take a sec to clap for Jonathan's knowledge on that?
You know, that's what happens when girls ignore you in high school. So the Marvel 2099, first off, I don't think we'll ever see it in the MCU because those characters work. And in the 90s, a lot of their characters at Marvel had like run out of fumes. And they were trying violent, like crazy to try and reinvent their characters. So they had this little pocket universe called Marvel 2099, and you still see versions of it. Like Spider-Man 2099 is still a very popular character. Mm-hmm. And we did see him like crossover recently into the mainstream Marvel. But Bloodhawk, like, not even based on like a real character.
Is he a villain or a hero?
Creature of the desert, the vicious Bloodhawk is the environmental protector of 2099's Wild West. So I'm guessing he's an environmentalist. He's a good character because it's the Wild West. Because it's the Wild West. This is what I'm going to do.
This is how positive Marvel was, though. They actually thought there would be a 2099 where there was an environment to actually protect.
Well, it does say Wild West.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the wild, yeah. That's oh, it's possible. It's post-apocalyptic. Yeah. I think Bloodhawk is going to run afoul of Ghost Rider.
Ooh.
Ghost Rider is going to be out in the desert riding out. You know, we can have any kind of what you want. Johnny Blaze, yeah. Ghost Rider.
But how are we bringing Ghost Rider into the MCU?
Yeah, Ghost Rider is... Well, Ghost Rider's in the MCU. He was, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had Ghost Rider.
Oh, you're
had
right.
Had the Robbie Reyes
so are
Ghost
we,
Rider.
So we can count TV.
Let's count TV. That's
okay. Not
Agents
cartoons,
of
though.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Count, it counts to me. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. counts to me.
I think it counts.
So basically...
Has Coulson.
So he sees Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider's like lighting stuff on fire on accident just by driving.
And, right. And he's mad because...
And Bloodhawk's like, oh, no, no, no.
We do down, not like, need more CO...
The last yeah. remnants of the rainforest that just happened to be there. There's like little sprouts coming up, but he's
wasn't a desert before, now it is. I don't know, but like... Yeah, I think Bloodhawk is going to be a misunderstood villain, like good guy goes after yeah. Ghost Rider and is like, no.
Well, once Ghost Rider explains that there's no actual carbon emissions, this is hellfire. That's making my car go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he'll try to penance stare him.
Yeah.
And it won't work because he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, oh, you're good. And then they'll team up.
Yeah, I think they ultimately team up.
Who do they team up against?
Some oil tycoon out there who's
that
like,
sounds great to me.
I'm going to frack Arizona and stuff like that.
Bring the slug back.
I'm going
to
frack Arizona.
You bring in the slug into the story.
Yeah, bring the slug back. The slug. The slug can be like, there's oil everywhere. I drink from your milkshake. Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It writes itself. Guys, we're good at this.
Yeah, we're really. I'm sure you're all writing for Marvel out there, so if you need an application, we've got ours.
Kevin Feige, we're right here.
You ready for another supervillain?
Yeah, give us another villain. Give us another character who's never been in the MCU but is in the Marvel comics.
How do you feel about the Puppet Master?
Okay, Puppet Master is a... That's actually a big villain.
Yeah, that's a pretty
Puppet
good
Master
villain.
Puppet Master is a major Fantastic Four villain.
Yeah.
If y'all are like familiar with the Fantastic Four, like the Thing is married to Alicia Masters, who's the blind person, who's a sculptor, and is the like daughter of the Puppet Master.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Puppet Master's thing is like, I'm going to carve a puppet of you, and now I can control your body. Controls the Thing, controls anybody he can make a puppet of.
Mm.
And
they also
with, like magic clay, right? Am I right?
Yeah, it says using mystic clay to control others for his own evil purposes.
I just want
to
go on record. I do know all this stuff, and it just I did.
Oh, they used that in Heroes.
Yeah,
they used that in Heroes. That's what it was. A TV show they used it. I knew I could remember.
I do know all this comic knowledge, and just got engaged. So I just want you all to know there's hope for all of us. Might just take a while.
It's only been an hour though, John. There's plenty of time for her to walk away from that.
Yeah. Heidi,
things may have changed after this panel. She's never heard you talk about the Puppet Master in public before.
I think she's probably heard.
If a ring comes flying on stage and hits me in the forehead, you know what happened. I talked about the Puppet Master. Okay, so who plays the Puppet Master? Is it a Fantastic Four villain?
Oh, we didn't pick who played Blood Knight.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just some guy with muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
A bunch of CGI plays Bloodhawk.
So... Yeah. We haven't gotten the Fantastic Four yet, but it's been announced. We're going to get Fantastic Four in the MCU. Obviously, Doom is probably the villain there, I hope. But eventually, we're going to need other villains. The Puppet Master. How do we introduce the Puppet Master to the MCU?
Is dude, Jean-Luc Picard
I
has
was going to say.
Yeah, 100%.
I was going to say Patrick Stewart because he's I like picturing him with his whole Shakespearean attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's a failed actor, and all he can get work in is puppetry. For, like,
and he discovers, I go like ahead. It. No, go ahead. You're doing
magic
it.
Clay.
I'm just wondering what the discovery is.
Well, he discovers that he can control people with the puppets.
So that's the true form of acting.
Yeah. I don't think it's magic clay. I think it's something that's like alien, and it's an alien substance. It comes
you should definitely make it some science-y shit, or Ed'll hate it.
I think. Well,
that is true.
To keep it with the Fantastic Four, I think this is a negative zone substance.
Oh, and he's bald. It's perfect.
Yeah, it looks like Jean-Luc Picard.
Well, also, it could be a polymimetic alloy.
Yeah.
So that when he uses it to like. Do all this jazz.
It sends magnetic. Blah, blah.
So basically, maybe he's working in movies like Rob Bottin. But that's the thing where it breaks down for me is like stop motion animation is so like imagine stop motioning some person to rob a bank for you. It would take 80 hours. They would get busted.
Well, he can actually make. He just needs to make the thing out of clay. He can still put it on strings and control it.
Oh my gosh! And then
you gotta have long ass strings to go all the way to the bank robbery.
What? We gotta Ooh! And you could use Hulkling here because you know they're gonna introduce Hulkling, right?
Yeah.
And so
I think the Kree Skrull or whatever we're gonna
he makes Hulkling look bad by controlling him and making him do bad stuff, so they think he's like the Hulk.
And speaking of Young Avengers, like Hulkling is a Young Avenger. We obviously got Wanda's kids. That's one of the Young Avengers. Okay. Those are both Young Avengers. Wanda's kids. I hear they're part of the next Doctor Strange film. We're probably if we get Hulkling, it's probably going to be in Secret Invasion.
Yeah,
the series announced for MCU over Disney Plus. The thing about the Puppet Master is he's pretty unstoppable because he can control anybody as long as he can make magic clay into their form, unless Alicia Masters says, "Dad, stop." That's like his biggest weakness is like Alicia Masters, the Thing's girlfriend and now wife.
I feel
is like the weakness.
The only person that could go up against Puppet Master is maybe Wanda.
Yeah, no, there's magic. Yeah,
I mean they're going to be trying to mind control each other, but
sure. Okay.
Okay. How about Scissor Man?
He just cuts the line.
He just ruins.
I love that you're just creating more heroes.
I'm telling you, Mac.
That's my role.
The card master's probably gonna pull Scissor Man out.
Oh, the next card's been pulled.
Okay.
Oh. All right. So this is gonna be a double whammy, technically. So I pulled the supervillain Cobweb, who is part of the Sleepwalker universe. So you're gonna have to give me a Sleepwalker and a Cobweb movie here. There's not a lot on this one either. His real name is Cobweb. Origin malevolent entity from the Mindscape dimension introduced in Sleepwalker number 3.
Okay, Sleepwalker's a hero, but Sleepwalker's introduced in the Spider-Man universe. And Sleepwalker's whole thing is Sleepwalker can transport himself anywhere that he wants through dreams. So as long as you're asleep, Sleepwalker can show up in your dreams and transport themselves like into your room or anything. So Sleepwalker is basically somebody who just bounces around. I'm guessing this character, Cobweb, is someone's like, Snatch, you can't move anymore. And he preys upon your dream. He looks like Pumpkinhead. You know that Pumpkinhead, movie Pumpkinhead with Lance Henriksen?
These names, though, why would you name yourself after something mildly inconvenient? Like anybody in here, the smallest child in here could bust through a cobweb.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like, it's real creepy, right? And then on top of that, you ever been on a walk and you're just like walking and everything's fine, and then all of a sudden something's on your face?
Well, to your first question, have I ever been on a walk? It's no. So the rest of this doesn't really work for me.
The thing I love the most is this card says Cobweb. Real name? Cobweb.
Cobweb.
The real name of Cobweb is Cobweb.
That means his parents were like, oh man, what would she name this beautiful baby boy that we've had?
This bag of webs. Well, we could name it.
We could name it Black Ooze. No, that's a little too dark.
What I like about the Mindscape dimension is that we kind of have the Mindscape dimension, something like a Doctor Strange and a Wanda character. We do have these other dimensions. I don't think this is a Quantumverse character. This isn't a science character. This is something that comes out of the magic part of it. Here are the stats. Strength. This is a heavy hitter here.
Okay.
Strength 4, not bad.
Okay.
Intelligence 3, so he's going to trip over his foot and hurt himself. Mental powers, though, 5. Like, this is somebody who will give you nightmares.
That's as strong
he will
as the
trap you in nightmares. And durability, 5, unlike most cobwebs.
Whoa. So he's basically a spider.
Maybe somebody played D&D. Because you ever run into that web spell in D&D?
Yeah. And you can't get out for like several turns?
Yeah, it's a big pain. And you got to roll pretty high on the strength, depending on the web. Yeah,
maybe right, I got to stay on brand and say Dustbuster Man. takes him out. Like, cobwebs aren't even made by spiders. They're made by like just conglomerations of dust. It's not real.
Okay, if we get a cobweb, we're going to get it in like a WandaVision type
Yeah, thing. It's for sure going through a multiverse. And it could just be like a one-time character.
It feels like a TV character. I don't think that he could Cobweb could go into the
I miss MCU Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because you could introduce characters like this and be like, I'm not that married to that.
But yeah, introduce them on something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like every week the cobweb gets bigger until it takes over the room for like, and it had to build them up for like 18 seasons.
I gotta tell you though, there was a really good iteration of Crusher Creel on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that was canon to me. And we got Gravitron on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we got the, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was an overlooked show for introducing characters that you thought maybe weren't mainstream. But Crusher Creel's a Thor villain. Like, Crusher Creel can throw down.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking, like, one of the keys to getting a character to stick, like, so it makes, maybe this character just makes, like, a momentary show, but if they show up for a moment, but like if you really like a character, sometimes they bring them back. So you got to have a good actor. And on one of my favorite TV shows, Supernatural, Mark Pellegrino,
yeah,
who played Lucifer,
yeah,
I think would be perfect for him.
I met Mark Pellegrino on the set of Supernatural.
Oh, cool. How are we? How did we not have this conversation?
It's pretty fun. I have a picture in Satan's cage with Mark and his wife Tracy.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, he'd be great for that role. He'd nail it so good that people would want to call the character back, and then we would get to see Cobweb more.
Cobweb.
You get good writers, you get good actors, and I think even like the lamest characters end up working. And I think that James Gunn proved that in the Suicide Squad with characters like Polka Dot Man, like beautiful.
Now,
beautiful
who would treatment. Play yeah. Dustbuster?
Man. Or a woman.
I'm just joking. No Dustbuster Man. It would have to be, I guess, Streetwalker. That's a whole another.
Yeah. Streetwalker.
Sleep.
Streetwalker.
Streetwalker. It's just a lady.
Streetwalker 1, Cobweb 0.
Streetwalker's a good guy, but their villain is them's text that you didn't like lock up. It's like, I found your texts, Streetwalker.
Streetwalker's enemy is your wife.
He is your wife. All right. Well, Card Master, what other derpy character not introduced to the MCU yet?
So we got some X-Factor action going here.
All right. I like X-Factor.
We've got Random, real name Marshall Evan Stone III. There's nothing Random won't do if the price is right. And with a body that transforms to counter his opponent's abilities, there's almost nothing Random can't do. His two superpowers are counteractive superpowers, where he can adapt to counteract any power within 5 yards of him, and firearms, in which his forearms transform into firearms.
Okay, so we have an adaptive...
So he's just Defense Man?
We have an adaptive character. We're
but
see,
but
we're
it said
see...
5 yards?
Yeah.
So if they're 10... If Hawkeye is up in the corner,
dead. Hawkeye just takes them out. We have these adaptive characters. We've seen two in the MCU, I think, so far. We've seen Taskmaster in the Black Widow movie. Uh-huh. That's an adaptive character who can see your moves and basically go blow by blow. And Echo, who we just had introduced in Hawkeye, is an adaptive character who can see your mannerisms and movements and echo them and then take you out. Random, though, has a new part of it in that he can actually adapt parts of his body to be like, I'm going to make a cannon. What does this dude eat that he is just shooting projectiles out of his body? Like, are the projectiles part of his body that he's also launching? Like,
now this has to be played by Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Does he eat bullets and then spit them out? Like, does he have to be like, hold on, reload, eat some bullets, and then be like, hand cannon?
Well, he's adaptive, so maybe he just chews on some steel. It's within 5 meters.
Within 5 meters. That's the weird thing. Anything within 5 meters, he can adapt to.
The hand cannon thing is it's real.
I'm guessing he's a mutant.
Yeah, he's one of those people that you put up against teams because if you come at him with Colossus powers, all of a sudden he's icy or something, and Colossus breaks apart or whatever.
Yeah, becomes
with fire. Yeah. He's this water. He's that.
So would you call him like a Fantastic Four type villain? Or?
No, he's a superhero.
He's a superhero.
He's a good guy.
He's in the X Factor, right?
X Factor. Yeah, he was an X Factor. Well, this is a good guy.
X Factor. X Factor encountered him. I'm going to Jonathan for a minute. Hey, excuse me.
Yeah.
X Factor encountered Random because Random was kind of like a mutant dude who was also like a bounty hunter for mutants and jazz.
Yeah, it does mention any Price is Right on that card.
So Dog the Bounty Hunter would play him. So X
Factor. Somebody groaned at that.
Yeah, someone.
Thankfully.
Oh. So X Factor's like, oh no, there's a problem in Florida.
So are you tying him in with the slug again?
I know. What's with this Florida
magic? I'm just surprised at how much the slug is coming back.
Okay. Who plays him?
Stone Cold Steve Austin? To be like, hey, here's a cigarette. Go with Christ, brah.
Yeah, okay. So he is a mutant. Good guy, bad guy. He's kind of on the...
So like a bounty hunter.
He's a bounty hunter. He works for himself.
If his bounty is to go beat up the X-Men or X-Factor or whatever, he can be a villain, and then he'll think, then at the, you know.
So he can, like, switch sides once he sees the light.
Boba Fett is a bounty hunter, yeah. Okay, and he was cool. I don't know if Random's going to be cool, but we're gonna give it a shot.
You know what? Let's have the guy who plays Boba play him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the picture.
What's his actor's name? I forget. I'm bad at things.
That is Pedro Pascal.
No. That's the Mandalorian.
That's Mandalorian. That character is now we got it. Whatever. Okay.
That guy.
I'm thinking about that guy. Okay, so the character, like, just looking at this card, he's got, like, a bandana. He does look kind of Stone Cold Steve Austin-y. I don't know if we adapt this. This is tough.
he should be played by that dude that was in the E Street Band.
Oh, yeah.
That had the bandana on.
Yeah, who was in The Sopranos.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, we could do that. I don't know. It's just weird. I love how he turned his hand into three cannons when one wouldn't do.
Do you see how veiny that hand cannon is?
Yeah.
It's very phallic. It's veiny.
Oh, it's Temuera Morrison.
Temuera Morrison, yeah. Temuera Morrison, who is Aquaman's
dad. I know,
dad.
We should be projecting those on that screen.
I
somehow
asked for an overhead projector, and they said, what is it for? And I told them, and they said,
no.
Leave. Absolutely not. Okay. I don't know if we're going to be able to do anything with Random other than hope he's never in the MCU ever. Do y'all have, like, some horrible characters that you remember from a random comic book back in the day, and you're like, whatever happened to that character? How would you put them in the MCU? Do y'all remember any of these from your comics, and you're like, maybe they showed up in one issue or not? I'm asking the audience. Do y'all remember these characters from your childhood?
Raise your hand.
I do see I see you elbow talking. Nudge happening. Yeah. Oh, back here.
Yeah, what's a random character that you...
Maggot.
Now, Maggot. Maggot's an X-Men character who can, like, spit giant worms out of their fists, right?
Yeah.
And, again, we haven't gotten the X-Men yet in the MCU. We're clearly getting them because merchandising.
Merchandising.
But are we
good
gonna
pick?
Have,
good
but
pick.
Is Maggot going to end up an MCU character? How do we make it work?
That's Deadpool.
I think
again.
That could be the interesting part, though, because, like, if you look at the X-Men, they're very diverse, but they're all pretty. Marrow's kind of ugly. She's got bones sticking out. Mm-hmm. Maggot's one of the only ones that's just like, hey, man, I'm ugly. Husk, I shoot ugly maggots.
Husk has, like, you know what I mean? Extra skin and stuff. Yeah.
So it's like his trials and tribulations of getting on the team. To be presented, he keeps the uglies in the mansion and trots out the cuties for all the press stuff.
Right.
So Maggot's whole thing is like, I got to get him the 18, baby. I got to show him these maggot eating powers are worth.
Now, can he control the maggots, or is there a situation where he might get emotional, like nervous on a date, and they just start spitting out of his hands?
Could you do Maggot like James Gunn used rat catcher?
There is a moment. And it's hilarious.
like, would you basically make Maggot like an equivalent of Ratcatcher 2, where you have like this swarm that you can create?
Yeah, you would think he's not that powerful until
he has like
had to be powerful.
Maggots.
Yeah. Could also be a female character. We could turn it into a female character.
We could dinner swap Maggots.
Oh, man.
Okay, Katie, you're going to audition for Maggot.
I'm in.
Show us your Maggot spinning powers and action. Okay,
we didn't say fart maggots, but you know what?
I would assume that, like, noises come out.
Let's not gender swap that character. It was a bad idea. That was a bad idea.
I think it's going to be a great poster.
I think it's
poster.
A great idea.
It's going to be that thing where, like, I have to show my butt, and then, like, just, like, maggots are spitting out of my fingers.
You're standing at an impossible angle to show both your butt and your hands
and
simultaneously.
Your hands
in the
side,
Black Widow-esque, a la Avengers 1. Yeah.
I would love
Although, for a second, I thought you were going to say maggots were shooting at your butt.
Oh, that would be great too.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all in.
All right. Okay, so Maggot. I think Maggot.
You don't even have to work out for this one.
No, I know. That's the greatest part.
I don't know.
Sorry,
Brie
Larson. I can't do that regimen.
I'm excited for the X-Men to join the MCU. I don't know if that's because the promise of Maggot ever showing up.
Yeah.
But maybe Beak.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of making a female character not insanely hot. One, just because I'm like, I could play that. Two, no, I'm not going for the awes on that one.
Your hair did.
I did get my hair did. yeah, the maggots are coming out. No, but like I like the non over sexualization of a female hero, and you know, thank you.
We could use that.
Not the part I was thinking I was going to get a applause break on, but
well, and also you like there's times when it makes sense, right? When like okay, if somebody's in the army, they're exercising, they're going to be fit. Okay, great. But like if they're just a regular person, they're not like doing sit-ups and push-ups every single day.
Right.
Yeah. They're eating pizza and having a cherry Coke from time to time,
and they look like
they're pregnant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about me.
And I do think there's a Creepy Crawlers tie-in where it's an action figure and you just like squeeze her belly and then like gooey things pop out.
You would sell so many of those.
It's really good.
All right.
You want to do the final card?
Cardmaster, give us the final card on the derpiest characters Marvel had of the 90s that have yet to be introduced in the MCU.
I don't think this character is particularly derpy, and I think it'd be a great movie. We got Mojo, the supervillain Mojo.
Yeah, I think Mojo, we might actually get Mojo. We can't we can't get Longshot without Mojo. Oh,
yeah.
No.
We got to get Longshot in there.
We got to get Longshot in the MCU. Oh, okay. So let's explain Mojo
World. If anyone needs a refresher on Mojo.
I would love one.
Mojo World is an X-Men adjacent world where a character named Mojo, who's this giant mechanical spider-legged like creature, is basically like a reality TV show host. Like imagine like Squid Game. Imagine Squid Game as like a world. And if you enter the Squid Game, this world, it's all televised.
But kind of like Jerry Springer-esque,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was Jerry Springer-esque, like The Running Man.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, the Hunger Games, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But so we've had like Hunger. Yeah, we've had Hunger Games. We've had Squid Game. We've had that stuff.
But not with Battle superpowers.
But not with superpowers. So yeah. Mojo World, the X-Men end up in Mojo World, and now they're in like a Squid Game, or they're in like a Hunger Games, and they gotta play.
And that could fit right into Secret Invasion pretty well.
Yeah.
So, but there's also Battle World. And Battle World, we kind of saw like a version of Battle World in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Where you had the arena with the Hulk. So something like that, where you have Mojo as like an overseer of a televised
Well, is this going to be a real movie, though? Because in a real movie, they kill Maggot first.
Man.
There's that hero in Maggot.
That's how you would know that Mojo World was crazy and so strange. They would kill Maggot.
Yeah, Mojo is the despotic ruler.
It could be in Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi gets sucked into Mojo World to fight. Yeah.
He's a ruler of an alien dimension dominated by television. Mojo is determined to get the best ratings ever, and he'll use the X-Men to do it. Whether they survive the telecast or not, so like he's like an evil Jerry Springer type person. We get Alex Jones could play him.
What is it, Dana Smith from? I can always forget
Dana
that
Smith
dude.
From the MMA.
Yeah,
yeah, we could. There's that. There's
this guy's like he's got a very hulking figure with.
I mean, it's gonna be animated for sure.
No, I think we're gonna get Joe Rogan to play him.
You know what? You're right. He's not tall enough.
Okay. Well, he's got mechanical spider webs, like spider legs. So I think he could do it.
Can we put Cobweb in there?
Just hauls him around like a sidekick.
He's just like, I got this.
I love is that the
he's a salacious crumb.
The character.
That's a great idea, though, for a dude with mechanical spider legs to have his own web. That, hey, post up over there. I need to look intimidating over there.
It's almost like Cobweb like creates the landscape. It's like he's creating the terrain for him with his cobwebs.
Yeah.
The thing about Mojo is Longshot, the X-Men character that was surrounded in like the early 90s, late 80s. Was of like he survived Mojo World. He was like the big star of Mojo World, and he joined the X-Men, and his superpowers was luck. Like he could throw these little knives and he got lucky with them. He was lame. And he was based on the musician Lamal, who sang the Neverending Story theme song. Like there is a bit of trivia for you right there, which I got from Geekscape's One Hit Thunder podcast, where they covered the Neverending Story and talked about Lamal being
with your future wife.
My future wife, Lamal, was the influence for Longshot. Everything was lame about that.
Yeah. Lamal.
Lamal was the dude who sang the Neverending Story theme
Lame's
song.
Lame is in it.
So
he was a two-time one-hit wonder.
I don't think we're ever gonna get Longshot in the MCU, only because we already got Domino.
I was gonna say because Lamal aged out of it.
Because basically the same.
It's being the same thing, but Domino's cooler.
Yeah, Domino, who got in Deadpool 2, is cooler, and I think Deadpool 2 might end up becoming. I think Deadpool might be the only thing that's still canon in the MCU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the rumor I've heard is that they're gonna treat Deadpool as the new Stan Lee cameos.
for the movies.
Oh, I could.
So as the this is just a rumor that I've heard that if
I hope they do that, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun if the MCU continues. You'll see Deadpool pop up in the different movies with fourth, like breaking the fourth wall commentary. But I don't think we're gonna get Longshot. Then we're not gonna get Mojo World. But we love Squid Game. We love the Hunger Games.
We can use Mojo World a different way.
Yeah, Mojo World would be fun. Throw the X-Men in the Mojo World. All right, friends. We've educated you a lot on characters that were from the mainly the 90s in Marvel Comics. These were not cool characters. They were kind of lame. And maybe we'll see them in the MCU. Maybe we won't. Hopefully we won't. But I want to thank you all for being here to hear us talk about how we'd adopt them. Well, adapt them, not adopting. Those, I will never give them a home. I want to thank Matt Kelly, who runs the Geekscape Network. He is the card master. We have 18 shows on the Geekscape Network.
18 shows on the network. 18 covering anything from wrestling, one-hit wonders, female filmmakers, and improv fantasy horror podcasts, movies. Horror movies.
And Geekscape, the flagship
show.
Yeah,
Geekscape.
And we've got Ed Greer and Ron Swallow over here. Where can we hear y'all and follow y'all on social media?
At Ron Swallow, and then check out The Greatest Pod and at Nerd Goat Podcast for Twitter.
Yep, and you can catch The Greatest Pod. Just make sure you put pod at the end on every single podcatcher, even the weird ones like Spreaker and stuff.
Okay. Spreaker. Have you heard Dog Catcher? That's a podcast app. I'm like, who uses that? And Matt Kelly, where can we find you? At St. Mort.
At St. Mort on pretty much everything, but the best way to find me is just go to geekscape.net.
Yeah,
because everything that I've ever created apparently is sitting on there at this point.
Geekscape. And Katie, where can we find you?
You can find me at El Sassy Pants, ElSassyPants, unless it's TikTok, it's with a Z, for reasons that you can find out on the podcast. I sketch comedy and improviser, so if you want some funny things, look at Jonathan's face.
Right. she's my co-host on the Geekscape podcast, which we have weekly. We'll be back tomorrow at noon here to have a Geekscape 15th anniversary panel. It'll be a lot of fun. And subscribe to Geekscape if you liked what we talked about here. This panel will be on the feed, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We've done it for 15 years, so we're just going to keep doing it because there's nothing else for me to do. I'm not really good at anything else, including this. But thank you for being here.
Bye, guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Geekscapers, I hope you enjoyed that episode from Los Angeles Comic Con. Just a reminder to say, if you did, please share the episode by hitting that little share button and sending it to your friends and family. Also, if you can do us a favor, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out. However you listen, it's free on all platforms, so all I ask in return is that you do a little free promotion for Geekscape. Also, subscribe to us on YouTube and Twitch at Geekscape TV and join our Facebook group, Geekscape Forever. I mean it, Geekscape Forever. Over and out.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.